Title: Bassline and Stab Unison Writing Advanced. All right, welcome back. This is an advanced composition-focused lesson in Ableton Live for drum and bass, and we're going straight into one of the biggest pro-sounding drop unlocks, bassline and stab unison writing. And I'm going to say it right away, because this is where people get it twisted. Unison does not mean everything plays the same note, at the same time, all the time. In drum and bass, unison is coordinated intention. The bass and the stabs feel like they're part of one system, one weapon. They agree on the important moments, but they do not compete for the same space, the same register, and the same density. By the end, you'll have a drop-ready stack, a mono sub, a mid-bass that locks to it, and a stab stack that shares the groove but lives above the bass. And we'll glue it together using MIDI writing, phase discipline, EQ pockets, sidechain movement, and tiny micro variations that make it feel heavy instead of robotic. Set your tempo to 174 BPM. Anywhere from 172 to 176 is fine, but we'll sit at 174. Now let's set up the project so we can work fast. Create a group called Bass Bus. Inside it, make two MIDI tracks, sub and mid. Create another group called Stab Bus. Inside it, make stab mid, and optionally stab top if you want extra air later. And make sure you've got a drums group, or at least a clean kick and snare pattern you trust. This matters because all of this unison writing is really percussion aware. The drums are the grid. Quick workflow coaching note: rename and color code now. You're going to do lots of tiny edits and a slash B decisions. If your session is messy, you'll hesitate, and hesitation kills good groove decisions. Step 1 is the most important step in the whole lesson. Write the rhythmic grid first. Before you choose the perfect bass sound, before you hunt for the perfect stab patch, you're going to write a one-bar rhythmic skeleton that both the bass and the stabs reference. Because in D&B, groove is king. If the rhythm rolls on one note, it will roll on any sound. So go to the MIDI track and create a one-bar MIDI clip. Work on a 16th note grid. The general rule: put bass hits mostly between the kick and snare, and leave space on the snare. You want those syncopated pushes that make the track feel like it's leaning forward. Here's a classic rolling idea: place hits at a few off subdivisions across the bar. If you know the E and A subdivisions, great. If you don't, no stress. Just draw notes on the 16th grid, listen, and aim for that steppy but urgent motion. Start with one pitch, just the root note. Don't add melody yet. Turn on fold so you're not visually distracted by unused notes. If you want, drop a scale device on there to keep things tonal while you experiment. Optional, but useful. Your goal right now is simple. If I mute everything except this MIDI rhythm on a basic synth, does it already roll? If yes, you're ready. If no, fix the rhythm before you do anything else. Now build the sub. The sub is the mono foundation that never lies. Go to the sub track and load operator. Set oscillator to a sine wave. Set the amp envelope so it's punchy but clean. Attack at zero. Decay somewhere around 200 to 400 milliseconds depending on how plucky you want it. Sustain basically off, and release around 50 to 120 milliseconds so you don't get clicks, but it still stays tight. Leave glide off for now. We can add it later if the line wants it. Now processing on the sub. Keep it minimal and disciplined. Put EQ 8 first. Do not high pass your sub. If it's getting boxy, you can do a tiny dip around 200 to 350 hertz, but keep it subtle. The sub's job is stability. Then add saturator. Drive about 1 to 3 dB. Soft clip on. This is not distort the sub. This is make the sub audible on more systems without wrecking it. Then utility. Set width to 0%. Hard mono. Always. Now copy the MIDI rhythm from MID to sub. Same rhythm. And composition rule: keep the sub mostly on the root note. Maybe one passing note per phrase, but be strict. The more disciplined your sub is, the heavier everything above it can get without the mix falling apart. Coaching check. Drop a spectrum on the sub. You want a stable fundamental. Depending on your key, you're often living around 40 to 60 hertz. And when the note changes, it should feel intentional, not like it's wandering. Now we build the mid-bass. This is the voice, the character, the thing that makes the bassline talk, while still feeling glued to the sub. On mid, load wave-eatable. Start simple. Oscillator 1 on a saw. Oscillator 2 on a square or another saw. Add unison, but keep it controlled. 2 to 4 voices is enough. Amount around 10 to 25%. Detune around 8 to 15%. You want energy, not phase soup. Filter. LP24. Set cutoff somewhere in the 200 to 800 Hz range depending on how dark you want it. Add a bit of drive, maybe 2 to 6 to thicken. Amp envelope. Attack 0, decay may be 150 to 350 milliseconds, sustain low, release around 60 to 140 milliseconds. Now the MID processing chain. EQ 8 first, high pass around 80 to 120 Hz. The sub owns the real low end. The mid bass is not allowed to fight it. If it's muddy, a small notch around 250 to 400 can help. Then saturator or a roar. With saturator, maybe 3 to 8 dB drive, soft clip on. With roar, start mild, like a tube or worm style, and keep your low end controlled. Then glue compressor. Lightly, think 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction on peaks. Attack 3 to 10 ms, release auto or around 100 ms, ratio 2:1. Then utility, keep width low, 0 to 30%. The mid bass can have a little spread, but it must remain mono-friendly. Now here's the critical unison writing principle. SUB and MID share the same rhythm about 80 to 90% of the time. That's why we wrote the rhythmic skeleton first. That rhythm is the agreement. It's the contract between layers. Where you're allowed to get fancy is in the MID only. Occasionally, things like a tiny 16th note pickup into a main hit, a quick grace note, a slight pitch dip, little note length variations. But do these deliberately, like a drummer adding ghost notes, not random scribbling. And here's an advanced wait trick, microtiming. Nudge the MID notes 1 to 4 milliseconds late, consistently for a whole phrase. Keep the SUB on the grid. That slight drag makes the bass feel heavier. But be disciplined. Consistent offset reads as intentional. Random offset reads as sloppy. Now let's bring in stabs. Stabs are where your harmony and your identity can show up, without muddying the bass. Stabs work best in DNB when they share rhythmic DNA with the bass accents, but they live above the pace, and they stay short, punchy, and controlled with sidechain. On stab mid, load analog for a classic gritty stab vibe. Two saw oscillators, slightly detuned. Low pass filter, cut off somewhere between 800 Hz and 3K, resonance low, drive moderate. Amp envelope, attack 0, decay around 120 to 250 ms, sustain low or none. Release 60 to 150 ms. Now, writing the stab chords. Choose a key. I'll use F minor as an example, but you can use your own. Here's the concept. The bass is root-driven. The stabs outline harmony with minimal chord tones. In DNB, two-note stabs are often more effective than huge chords. They hit harder and stay out of the way. Some useful voicings. A minor flavor, root plus minor third, like F and AB. A darker color, root, minor third, and minor seventh, like F, AB, EB, or a sus tension like F, G, C, or F, BB, C for that ravey push. Here's the practical workflow. Duplicate your bass MIDI clip onto stab MID, then delete most notes. Keep only the strong accents, like 2 to 4 hits per bar max, often fewer. Now turn each capped note into a chord using the chord MIDI effect. If you want a minor chord flavor, set one shift to plus 3 semitones for the minor third. Then choose either plus 7 for a fifth or plus 10 for that minor seventh vibe. And then, you edit density like an arranger, not like a typist. Some hits are full chord stabs, some are just a dyad, some are a single note. That contrast is energy. Coach note that will save your drops. Decide who leads each 2-bar chunk. In a lot of rollers, bass leads bar 1, stabs lead bar 2, or the other way around. If the stabs are speaking, simplify the mid bass. Shorter notes, less brightness, more holes. Let the conversation happen. Now process the stabs so they sit right. EQ 8, high pass aggressively, around 150 to 250 Hz. Do not let stabs borrow the bass lane. If they're harsh, dip a little around 2 to 4K. Add saturator or roar for grit, but keep it controlled. Add chorus ensemble for subtle width, low amount. You want width, not seasickness. Utility, widen stabs, maybe 120 to 160%, because this is where you can go stereo. And add a short reverb. Short, decay maybe 0.4 to 1 second, pre-delay 10 to 25 ms, low cut above 300 Hz. The reverb is there to give size, not to smear your rhythm. Now, a more advanced stab sound design tip, stereo without smear. If you can, keep the core of the stab more mono-ish and only widen the air. One way is to split into bands in an audio effect rack. Keep lows and low mids narrow, widen only above 2 to 4K. This helps the stab survive mono and still feel wide. Next, we make bass and stabs feel like unison through arrangement logic. This is the secret sauce. Unison isn't just layering, it's phrasing. Use a 16-bar drop plan like this. Bars 1 to 4. Bass dominates, stab sparse. Establish the groove. Bars 5 to 8. Stab start answering. Call and response. Bars 9 to 12. Introduce varination. Different chord inversion. Different voicing or change which hits our full chord versus dyad. Bars 13 to 16. Peak density. Add an extra stab hit or a small octave lift somewhere and then cut something on bar 16 to set up the transition. Call and response can be super simple. If the bass hits a strong offbeat moment, the stab answers after the snare, or the bass plays a two-hit phrase, and the stab drops a single signature punctuation at the end of the bar. And here's a voicing trick. If your bass is living on the root, the stab can emphasize the minor third and minor seventh. That implies harmony, without forcing the bass to become a chord instrument. It keeps the low end stable but makes the musical mood feel richer. Now we glue it with sidechain and dynamics so the unison pumps correctly. Put a compressor on the bass bus and on the stab bus. Enable sidechain from the kick, or from a ghost kick if you want more consistent ducking. Ratio 4:1. Attack 1 to 5 ms. Release 60 to 120 ms. Tune to the tempo. Threshold until you see about 2 to 6 dB of gain reduction depending on how aggressive you want it. Quick warning. In DNB, the snare is often the main transient. Side chaining to snare can be useful, but be careful. Too much and your drop turns hollow. And another advanced note, if compressor sidechain changes the tone, especially on distorted bass, move the ducking later in the chain, or use a volume shaper style approach with utility gain automated in a rack. The goal is consistent movement without the timbre wobbling. Now we do the checks that separate sounds big in my room from works everywhere. Phase and mono compatibility. Put utility on the master and hit mono. Listen. If the bass loses weight in mono, reduce unison voices and attune on the mid bass. Narrow it with utility. And make sure your sub is truly the only thing owning that 40 to 80 Hz zone. Use spectrum on the bass bus to watch low end stability. If it's jumping around wildly, your unison settings are probably too wide or too detuned. Now, common mistakes to avoid while you're working. Letting stabs share low end with the bass. That's instant mud and a weak drop. High pass stabs and write them higher too. Over unison detune on mid bass. Sounds huge in stereo, collapses in mono, and the punch becomes inconsistent. Same rhythm everywhere all the time. Unison is shared accents, not shared density. Too much reverb on stabs. It will wash the groove. This audio version is shortened for playback.